We are going to close out our sermon series, We Are Who We Are. We've been asking the question, who are we as a church? Who are we as individuals? And one of the things that we camped on was our purpose statement. So this is our purpose statement: moving our generation beyond religion, beyond I have to go to church, or this is what I do on Sunday, into a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I mean a relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean is I don't know about Jesus. It means I have a relationship with Jesus. It means that I have looked at the cross. I realize that I serve a holy God, and without Jesus Christ, I would have no hope of eternity. And so I've asked him personally to forgive me of being a sinner and committing sins. And that is the way to have a relationship, or really that's just the beginning of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we think salvation is huge, it's the most important decision you can ever make. But again, it's just the beginning of his call upon our life. And we want to have a powerful relationship, an ongoing powerful relationship with Jesus Christ, using our spiritual gifts, being joined together as a body of believers to honor and glorify him. And we looked at what that meant through two main passages of scripture, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment was to love our Lord God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the Great Commandment passage. And we looked at that and we saw that it is really being obedient to God's call in our life. And the Ten Commandments break out very nicely into loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. But again, that's just the umbrella of everything that comes underneath that. And I think the expression, I think one of the greatest expressions of our love for God and our love for others is to fulfill the Great Commandment, or the Great Commission. That is to take the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. Because nothing says I love you, God, more than going, oh, what's important to you? What beats your heart and what pounds that? And the compassion and passion that you have for people, is that what I want? And so if we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, we will follow his command to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. And there's no greater love that we can show anyone than to tell them the truth. And sometimes they don't want to hear the truth, but if we take that message out, what we're really doing is saying, I love you enough to tell you what you don't want to hear, or maybe that you don't know. And so we express our love for God and love for others by doing what he's called us to do, and that is to point people to the majesty of Jesus Christ, who stepped out of heaven, took on flesh and blood, went to the cross, died in our place, but he didn't stay dead. Amen? He rose from the grave. And because he rose from the grave, we know that our faith in him is not wasted, but we have life through him, and God guarantees it. So each one of us, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, and you may be a brand new believer, or maybe young in your faith, and you just started walking with God, maybe you've walked with God for a very long time. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as each one of us are striving to serve God, as long as each one of us are continuously growing in the grace and wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as each one of us are seeking to accomplish his will in our life, determined to say, I want what you want, God. And as long as each one of us are seeking to build his kingdom in our midst, then we can be assured of this, that we are fulfilling that statement, to move beyond religion into a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's our mission. That's what we're called to do. Well, today we're going to do something a little different. I don't have a full-fledged sermon per se. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of things here, our motto and our logo, and try to explain them. And then I'm going to get a little preachy in the middle of that. Okay, so that's going to be the preachy part of it. But I want to explain to you our logo to help you understand that what we are called to do needs to be constantly in front of us. And so this is our reminder, and we're going to give you some things. And when you fill out this sheet and turn it in, we're going to give you some things to help you remember exactly what we are called to do. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then we'll look at our motto first and then our logo and see how these are all tied together. And can't see if we can't have a heartbeat that beats with God. So let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that this morning we can look at things a little differently. We can look at a motto, we can look at a logo, but Lord, most of all, what it does is points us so that we can look at you. And I think of even right now of Isaiah looking at the sun high and lifted up, exalted on his throne, and he was just blown away. He was just absolutely amazed. May we be amazed this morning as we take a closer look at your goodness, at your grace, at your mercy, and certainly, Father, your endless love for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, may you meet with us this morning. We have open arms, open hearts, open minds pour yourself into us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, to help keep us focused, I want to introduce you to our motto. And our motto is supposed to encapsulate our beliefs. It's something that we're supposed to, hey, let's catch it real quick so that we understand that it is directing us, is guiding us, is leading us. So let me introduce you to our motto. You have it in your pay and your sheet there. But here they have all the blanks in the bottom filled together. River Oaks, our motto is to connect with God, to each other in ministry, and to a hurting world. Let me say that again. Our motto here at River Oaks Church is to connect first with God, then to each other, then in ministry, and then to a hurting world. It has four parts. And the word connect just means to be joined together. We are connected. We come together. And my first thought was, you remember in the old hotels, you used to have a hotel room here and a hotel room there, and you had that door in between. They don't make them like that as like they used to. But that's not what I'm talking about. We open the door, and oh, they're connected, and you can go in and out. That's not this connect. This connect would be to tear down that whole wall and make one big room out of it. That's how intertwined and interconnected this term means. It means to be joined together, intimately intertwined, integrated into one another. And so to connect means that we are going to have meaningful conversations. There's going to be a purposeful involvement with God and with others in ministry into a hurting world, and a decided blending of our lives together. And so this is very, very purposeful in every stretch of the imagination. And so the word connect with God, to each other in ministry, to a hurting world, is to have meaningful conversations, purposeful involvement, and a determination to blend our lives with each other. And so what I want to do is very briefly go through what it means to connect with God, so forth and so on. And we're just going to scratch the surface. I'm just going to kind of highlight it. We can go really deep in many of these. But first and foremost, we are to connect with God. In other words, we're supposed to have a personal relationship with Him. That's not I came to know you, but I don't have any contact with you. A personal relationship with God means that I'm digging into His Word and I'm asking Him, Lord, what are you talking to me about today? And it's a daily thing. You know, if we had a relationship with our spouse and we never talked to them, what kind of relationship would we have? Horrible. It would be terrible. It wouldn't be a relationship at all. Think of your friends. If you never ever talk to your friends, what kind of friendship do you have if you never talk with them? And so our connection with God must be a time which we spend in His Word seeking to know Him. And I know sometimes we read His Word and go, I don't get it, but I guarantee you will get something. You may not get the whole passage. You may read the Old Testament and you go to the book of Leviticus and say, I don't get it. I guarantee you something, some small part will be there for you to grab onto and bring that truth into your life. And so we connect with God by diving into His Word, and then we begin to talk to Him about it. It's just prayer life. We just simply talk with Him. We do what we're doing this morning. We come together as a body of Christ, and in a very special way, a very meaningful way, we all get to connect with God when we're here. It's different and important. It's not the same as being individual at home in our quiet time or in our private prayer time, going into our prayer closet. Here we come, we just connect a little different, but it's extremely important for us to do that. And then we seek to follow Him faithfully as He leads. And as we do that, as we're obedient to Him, His life begins to be blended in ours. And the closer we get with Him, the more integrated our life becomes with His. And that's the goal, to connect with God in such a way that we're intertwined and interconnected with Him intimately. The second connection there is to connect with one another. And so we get involved in each other's lives through Bible study. Listen, there's something about getting together in a Bible study and talking about the Word of God. You know, I experienced it. We had a group in our house on Thursday, and we were talking back and forth, and there's some thoughts that came out that I hadn't thought about. And then we began to discuss them. As we think through those, it just helps one another to grow. And we do that on purpose. We do it so we can each grow in wisdom and knowledge of Christ and spur one another on and challenge one another to deepen their walks with Jesus Christ. So it's purposeful. We prod, we push, we desire the best for one another. And so we long for one another to know Christ better. So we serve one another. We love one another. We show one another grace and mercy. And if you spend time with someone else, what you're going to realize is they're just as flawed as you are. Isn't that good news? See, I think it's great news that I know you're flawed just like I am. But it's the opportunity for us to share in the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, to give understanding and to know that one another, as Paul would write in Philippians, that we are to see them as more important than ourselves. You know, in the last couple of weeks in studying that passage, it's really interesting because Paul, after he says, have put others as more important than yourself, and then he says, listen, don't look after your own interests, but look after the interest of others. And it really hit me, and it dawned on me that when I look after the interest of others, what am I doing? I'm valuing them. I'm looking into their lives and say, you know, what you're doing is important. And as you look at my life and what I'm doing, you see it as important. And so what I'm saying is I'm really valuing that person. I'm looking at them and say, you know, God's doing something in their life. And it's important. It's purposeful. And so if all of us are doing that, we begin to get connected one to another. And we not just meet on Sundays, but we're connected in our lives. And we begin to share life with one another. And so not only are we connected to God, connected to others, we also get connected in ministry. This is when we use our spiritual gifts. And they're so important. God did not equip me with every spiritual gift in the church, and he didn't equip you either. And it means that we need each other to function in this church. We need each other to grow in Christ. In fact, we looked at that passage that says, as we explore our spiritual gifts and as we exercise our spiritual gifts, it is for the purpose of helping the whole church mature in their faith. And so when we get connected in ministry, when we're serving side by side, here's the picture, we're locking arms and we're standing side by side and we're moving forward, pushing the devil out. We're standing against the gates of Hades, as it were. But we're doing that together as we connect in ministry, loving God, loving one another, and connecting, drawing closer and standing side by side. And then the last connection is to a hurting world. Do you know the world hurts? The world hurts. People don't even know they're hurting, but wait till something tragic happens. And they don't know how to face it. And they don't know what to do. See, it's our opportunity to connect with people in a hurting world, to share with them the truth of Jesus Christ, to make sense out of a tragedy, to give purpose and meaning to struggles. There's so many people live this life, I don't know what's going on in my life. Well, let me tell you, God's doing something if you just turn to him. And so we connect to a hurting world to let them know that God loves them. And so we give of our resources. We give financially so that people who can go over to Africa, go down to South America, go somewhere else around the world, can go and share the word of Christ with somebody. So we give of our resources. We give of our prayer time. We support churches and organizations and missionaries. We purposefully get involved to show the world that God cares, that God loves them. And I don't think it would take very long for you to find somebody hurting in the world around us. And if we purposefully, meaningful conversations, purposeful involvement, to blend your life with them and get integrated with them, you will have an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel with them and give them hope because they're hopeless, to show them the love of God instead of just some wild thought about who God is. So obviously in all of these, I'm just really scratching the surface what it means to connect to each other, with God, to each other in ministry into a hurting world. But in each one of them, we have to have meaningful conversation, purposeful involvement, and a determined blending. I've decided that I'm pouring myself into your life, determination, so that we get intertwined and integrated into their life. That's how we connect. And so that's our motto, to connect with God, to each other, in ministry, and to a hurting world. Now we're gonna look at our logo. This is the one that's on the front of the wall out there. This is the logo. Dean Kelly helped me do that. He put it together. We had this idea and we stretched it all out and got it in there. But I want you to notice two things about it. First, it's the cross that's over four quadrants. This is not a cross on a picture window. This is a cross divided into four quadrants. And those four quadrants correspond to the four connections with God, to each other, in ministry, to a hurting world. So every time I want you to see this logo, I want you to also think of the connect. And the cross is integrated into that because we connect with God simply through the cross. We connect with each other as brothers and sisters because of Jesus Christ. We connect in ministry because of Jesus. Without him, we have no ministry. We connect to a hurting world with the gospel, the truth of Jesus, because of Jesus Christ, and he told us to go. And so the cross is central to our connection with each one of those. And without the cross, we would have nothing. In fact, Jesus said that himself in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And the last time I looked up nothing in the dictionary, you know what it meant? Nothing. How much can we do if we are not connected to Jesus Christ? Nothing. I have no relationship with God without Jesus Christ. You are not my brothers and sisters without Jesus Christ. I cannot ministry in his name without Jesus Christ. I can't take a message of hope into the world if without Jesus Christ. I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. So the author of Hebrews tells us this, if we know Jesus Christ, he says, fix our eyes on him, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he shows us the way. If I want to be involved and have much fruit, I need to follow the one who I need to follow, and that's Jesus Christ. He needs to show me where to go. He goes on here in the next verse. This is Peter. You got to love Peter. Peter faced so much. But this is what he said at the end of 1 Peter. He said, no matter what we face in life, we are to live out the rest of our days for the will of God, entrusting our very souls to the faithful Creator. In other words, listen, we can't do anything without Jesus, and so we have to follow him. And wherever he leads, no matter what is going on, under any circumstances, we have to determine to follow him and to follow his will for our life, wherever he goes. So our lives must be focused on Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. It's not just for salvation. Salvation is that point in time where you met Jesus Christ, but the rest of our time is to be lived out for him, and we need the cross for that. We cannot do it on our own. And so the second thing I want you to notice that is on the cross, and you look at your picture there, it's not smooth. Its edges are rugged. It cuts. In fact, one of our deacons was cleaning that and he slid his fingers up. Don't do this. You slide your finger upside, he just cut his fingers open, wide open. It's sharp, it's rugged, and it was meant to be that way. It was meant to be rough because it is not cute, it is not quaint, and I know we wear it as a necklace, but don't put this one on, you'll get cut. And the reason it is rough is because it was an instrument of death. And we always need to see it that way. Just as soon as we cutesify it, we make it cute, we forget that Jesus died on the cross and that our life is connected with him and his death on that cross. In fact, when Paul realized that and he said, and we're going to look at this verse, it's one of my favorite and I keep repeating it and I know that, but in a very real way, when Paul looked at the cross and he said, I am crucified with Christ, what he saw was his own death on the cross, and you and I need to do that as well. We need to see that that was the place where our old person, our old self died. That's how Paul looked at it. I am crucified with Christ. In the book of Philippians, a couple of chapters over, he said this. He said, he was willingly suffering the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish, so that he may gain Christ. The word rubbish in the King James meant dung. It was a pile of dung. It was something that you didn't count worthy, so you threw it out to the dogs. It was just trash. And what Paul did in his, he looked back at his Pharisaic life, and his whole life was to live for that one thing, to be the best Pharisee that he could be. And when he met Jesus Christ, you remember the story on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He's riding on a horse to go persecute the church in Damascus. He had letters on hand to say that he could have free will persecuting the Christians. And a bright Shekinah glory of God shows up, knocks him off his horse, and Paul goes, who art thou, Lord? And the biggest gulp in Scripture when someone's swallowed very, very hard is when Jesus answered and said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Uh-oh. Oh, no. And listen, Paul never got over that. And he looked back on the rest of his life from that point on and said, it is nothing. It has absolutely no power. All the things that I saw, all that I thought was powerful, all that I thought was important, all the prestige and all the financial gain and everything else, man, there was nothing. All of my wants, all of my desires, I have crucified with Christ because I see them nothing more than something that I would just soon throw out to the dogs. And remember, dogs in that culture weren't little puppies that we pet. They were mangy mutts. They were scavengers. He said, I just throw it out to the dogs. What he wanted and what his heart longed for was to gain Christ, to have more and more of Jesus. So let's pause for a moment. Do you think like that? Do you pause in your life and say, wow, I don't want any of this. In fact, all the stuff that I have, my title, my stuff, all of it is meaningless compared to Christ. I would give it all up to know Jesus better. Do you think like that? Paul did. He thought like that. I want to know God better. And he says, if you follow the verse, he would willing suffer for the cause of Christ if he could just know Jesus more. When's the last time you got up in the morning and just said, you know what, none of this is important. The most important thing I could ever do is to gain a little more of Jesus today. That's how Paul thought. But let's continue his thought from Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, every time we look at that cross, every time we see that logo, what I want you to see is our death and then his life being lived out through us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. The hardest thing you will ever do is to not allow the old person before you met Jesus Christ, that old man in you, the old sinful self, not to rule your life. Because he so easily wants to take over. He so easily just wants to have his own way and to do his own thing. You know, this week, and I'm going to tell you what it was, but I'm going to tell you how hard it was for me to realize that. To look at my life and realize that I did not want to suffer the loss of all things. That my pride and my lack of humility, the two go together. Man, I wanted what Larry wanted. And it really didn't matter. And those who I love, I hurt more because I did not want to suffer the loss of all things. I did not want to gain Christ and to know him better. It was the old self wanting what I want, what me, myself, and I want, and how easy it is for me to not count my wants, not to count my desires, not to count what Larry wants as rubbish that needs to be thrown out to the dogs, but to think it's so important and it's so powerful. And unless we get a hold of ourselves and get to the point in our life where we can say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then here's what happens. That person that was crucified with Christ, I guarantee you, you'll rip out the nails, you'll come down off your cross, and you'll live your life the way you want to. Instead of allowing Jesus Christ to live his life through you. How easy it is for us to allow me to take over instead of living our life by faith in Jesus Christ. See, when our old self is in charge, what happens to our connection with God? Breaks. What happens with our connection to one another? It falls apart. What happens to ministry? It doesn't happen. And I guarantee you will not go into all the world with a message of hope when you are in charge of your own life. See, our connection breaks down, falls apart, and crumbles. It's just not there. Unless Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, and a life lived from him, is first and foremost in our life. See, when we look at the cross, we must, like Paul, see the love of God above all else and see the love that he has graciously, mercifully, tenderly bestowed upon us. Listen to what Paul thought of himself. He said this, I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Can you imagine his whole life, that was in the background of his head and his heart. I'm not worthy. Look what I did to the cross or the church of God. Remember, he was there when they stoned Stephen. I can imagine when he heard Jesus, he just laughed and mocked at him and made him angry. And then he chased down people who called themselves Christians and followers of Jesus to throw them in jail or to have them killed. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. See, behind that is, oh my goodness, God called me to be an apostle. He told Timothy in the first letter, he said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners among whom I'm the foremost of all. He saw himself and said, I'm a sinner. I think the more he drew closer and closer to God, the more he realized the depth of his own sin. And it bothered him. Oh my goodness, I'm the foremost of sinners. He said in the book of Ephesians, to me, the very least of all saints. But look what happens. Oh, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. So I'm the least of all saints. Oh, but grace was extended and I get to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. He was overwhelmed with what God has done in his life. He saw himself as completely unworthy of grace. Again, let's pause. Do we think of that about ourselves? That we are completely unworthy of grace? Or do we look at ourselves and we say, you know what? Compared to Bob, I'm pretty good. Compared to Mary, not so bad. John, I got him, boy. In a moment we do that, you know what we're doing? We're saying, you know what, God, I'm okay. I deserve this. And yet in Paul's own heart and own mind, what he realizes the only thing he deserved from God is judgment. And yet he was given grace because God so loved. I think sometimes we just need to stop and take an honest assessment of what we think we are before a holy God. Outside of Jesus Christ, what do we deserve? But because of Jesus Christ, what do we get? How amazing it is. See, listen again to what he said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now pause and ask why. Why does Paul live by faith in the Son of God? Why is he trusting Jesus? Why is he living for Jesus? Why is he following Jesus? Oh, because he loved me and gave himself up for me. See, that's what Paul could never get over. And that's what drove his life. Paul looked at himself and goes, me, oh, it was me. Look what I did. Look at my heart. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm a sinner. That's awful. Oh, but look what God did. He opened his heart to me. And he poured grace and mercy and love into my life. And I'm his. Therefore, I will live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me and gave himself up for me. He was absolutely in awe of what God did for him. And here's the issue. Until we look to the cross and see it as a place where I should have been, then we will never, ever fully commit ourselves to Jesus Christ and allow him to live his life through us in very bold and powerful ways. If we do not see ourselves as dead on the cross and deserving that death and judgment, and then the grace that God has given us, we'll only be quasi-committed to Jesus Christ. We'll be committed when it's convenient. And we will not live our lives for him. And that is why the cross isn't smooth. That's why it is rough. Because in every one of those connections, what he's asking us is to lay down our life. To die to ourselves. And to live for Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God is dependent upon that. Our relationship one to another is a necessity. If we are going to serve God in ministry, then we had better die to ourselves and put other people as more important. And if we're going to take the message of hope to a world that's questioning us and wondering about us, whether it's real, if we don't die to ourselves, then they'll just see us as hypocrites. So the cross is in the center to remind us that it is the place in which our salvation was purchased. But it's also Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God because, oh, he so loved me and gave himself up for me. So we must die to ourselves to make any of those connections. And so the cross is first and foremost rough and dead center so that we may give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can connect with God, to each other, in ministry, and to a hurting world. You're going to hear that a lot. When you come in, it's going to be the logo in front of you as it is, and on the sidewalk, connect with those words are going to be up, so you can always tie the two together. But I know how easy it is to forget. By Tuesday, many of you are going to be saying, what did Larry preach on? I can't quite remember. So what we have for you, if, and this is for everyone, if you're here today, if you fill this out, what we have for you is a mugging. We have a mugging. Not that kind of mugging. This kind of mugging. We purchased these mugs. And the reason we did mugs, and it has our logo, so the four quadrants are constantly reminding you so that when you wake up in the morning, you can go, oh, the cross, that rough cross, the place where I die, so I can connect with God, to each other, in ministry, and to a hurting world. We also have this little thing here, a little bag you get. You get a pen. Guess what's on the pen? Logo. So when you write to somebody, oh, I'm writing a note. Die to myself. Put them first. The ever-present refrigerator magnet. So that you can put it on the front. So when you're ready to go get that second piece of pie, you can say, oh, connect to myself. Anyway. And then here's two cards. River Oaks Church has their name on front of it. It says, come worship with us. That's just to invite someone else to come connect to God, maybe for the first time. And so these are for you, but you do, the only qualification is you got to fill this out legibly. There is a handwriting analysis out there, we'll determine. But please fill it out, and then you get to go home with two cups per household. So if you fill those out, that would be great. We would really appreciate it, because I want this to be a constant reminder in front of us. Because I do believe that if we see ourselves connecting, dead to ourselves and alive to God in faith in him, connecting with God to each other in ministry and to a hurting world, we will change things in our life and in the world around us. Somebody ought to get that phone. You're all right. It happened to me too. It has happened to me, and mine's up front and no one could hear it. I mean, no one could get to it. It's like, where's that noise going to? So that's right. It happens to the best of us, and you're the best of us. All right? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you are gracious and merciful, and Father, that you sent your Son. What an amazing truth that is, that through Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life with you, and that through him, we can live our lives to the honor and glory of Jesus. That through him, we have a relationship with you. Through him, we have a relationship with one another. Through him, we can stand together in ministry to make a difference. And Father, through him, we have the message of hope to a hurting world that doesn't know about you. And so, Father, may this connect motto become more than a motto. May it become integrated into our life. And may that logo constantly remind us that we need to die to ourselves, that we may live to Jesus Christ. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. You are so, so good, and we love you. And it's in your Son's name we ask and pray. Let's stand together and let Brandon close us out.